In the name of our loving Lord Jesus Christ, amen. You know, there are a lot of iconic sayings that you probably have heard over the years about love, and a lot of them are very meaningful and thoughtful and filled. As we think about this month of love, February, when Valentine's Day happens, one of them is that iconic phrase, love is never having to say you're sorry. That's not true. I love my wife dearly, but I've had to say I'm sorry a lot. And I think all of us probably find ourselves in that situation, but the love of God, which Pastor Ron so beautifully and mightily laid out for us last week, is different. It is agape. It is a verb. It is an action. It is a never-ending love that reaches out to you and to me and to all humanity. And last week, Pastor Ron said he looked up the song titles, if you recall, how many song titles there were with love in them. And as I recall, I think he said when he got his search back, he said an incredible amount. Incredible. They couldn't even put a number on them. Well, I'm here to tell you that I didn't trust his search, so I did my own search. I did my own search, and it came up with a different result. It said that there was an insane number. He's an Apple user. I'm a PC user, so maybe that's the difference. I'm not sure. We'll talk about that some other time. At any rate, there are a lot of songs about love out there. Back in 1967, the Beatles wrote a song and produced a song in Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band called All You Need Is Love. Maybe you remember that. Some of you remember it. If you listen to the oldies tunes, you'll hear them all the time. And what it proposed was, what was going on back there in 1967 was this revolution, this social revolution. And this love that they sang about was a utopian love that was supposed to solve all the world's problems and all of our interpersonal relationship problems and all that. All you needed to do was love, 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 you know, that kind of, just love. And the problem with that is, because it was not agape that they were singing about, it didn't happen, it couldn't happen, and it wouldn't happen. Because that kind of love is not what's going to save the world. That kind of love does not reach out selfishly to forgive sin and to pay for that sin. Pastor Ron shared with us that that love is a choice, and it's an action, and it's the greatest gift that God could give us, because it really is, if you come right down to it, the gift of Himself to us, to every one of us. And so today we're going to take it one step further as we heard about the foundation of love, about what agape was in juxtaposition to all those other kinds of love, heard that it was a greatest gift, that it is a choice, that it is an action, it's a verb. We're going to look at that gift from another angle today. St. Paul does not leave us wondering what agape means in real life. See, it's one thing to say agape and to talk about it in glowing theological terms, but Paul says that's not enough. He said, I want you to know exactly what that looks like in your relationships. Whatever those relationships are, whether it be marriage, in the church, in work, or whatever they happen to be. This is what true agape is. And so he goes into exactly what this greatest gift is and how that works out in real life, and outlines for us what love is and what love is not. And that's where we're going to go today. If you want to follow along in your mobile device or in the Bible, In Pew Bible, it's 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to do verses 4 and 5 in particular at this time. So he begins with saying, love is patient. Love is patient. Love hangs in there. And, you know, there's a little prayer that I often use every day, especially when I see a day that I'm impatient. I'll say, Lord, grant me patience and give it to me right now. Have any of you prayed that prayer? Yeah, I think, you know, for our own sanity, we have to do that sometimes, right? Well, that's not exactly what God is saying here. Now, I want to remind you that not only is agape a verb, an action, something that acts upon something, so are each one of these words that we're going to go through a verb. It's an action. It's just not a nice thought, you know, like, well, I'm going to try and be patient today. No, God says, this is what agape looks like as you live it out toward other people and in this world. And the first thing he says is love is patient. I'm not a very patient person. You don't know that, I'm sure. But my wife does. She points it out to me, especially when I'm behind the wheel of a car. So the man you see running down Alma School flailing his arms at other people, that's me. I'm just telling you right now, I confess it, and God and I are working on it, okay? We're working on that part of agape. I imagine there's a few of you out there with me on that one, too. So, love is patient. Love, he goes on to say, is kind. I think we'd all recognize that there is not a lot of kindness in our world. Kindness is hard to come by. People are mean. A lot of times, I know some of you, young people in school, you see that meanness, you know, going around school with bullying and things like that. There's a lot of meanness out there. A lot of people are just not very nice. And sometimes it's simply because, well, don't want to be kind because we don't want someone to take advantage of our kindness. You know, we just don't want to do that. But God is calling us to use this greatest gift of all actively. And to choose to use it, not just to talk about it and say, well, I think I'll be kind today, but to actually be kind, because our words and our deeds of kindness matter in an unkind world. He goes on to say that agape rejoices in the truth. I'm going to reinforce this again. When we're talking about agape, we're talking about an action. We're talking about acting upon the truth. I think our default position, get that computer term? This old guy knows that computer term, default, okay? The default position for us is usually, I don't know if I can believe them. We hear an awful lot about lies and things today in our discourse, our social discourse, and our default position is, well, I don't think I can believe them. But God calls us to actively rejoice in the truth. And I want you to hear what God has to say about that in John chapter 8. He says, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And get this, and he says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We rejoice in truth, the truth of words spoken and kept. He goes on to say that love is a lot of other things. One of the things he says, love is trusting. Trust is so often broken that we, again, default to the idea that, well, you know, I just can't trust anyone these days. Maybe some of you recall or remember or have had the experience of making a deal or a promise on your word or on your handshake. Some of the younger people here today probably wouldn't even consider that. Tell you about an experience I had that just blew me away. My first parish in South Dakota, I was up around Brookings, South Dakota, for those of you who know that area. And my wife and I, we needed a loan. the congregation built a parsonage. We don't have many of those anymore. But my job was to put furniture in it, and we had no money to put furniture in it. So we went to the banker who just happened to be the chairman of the congregation and chairman of the board of elders and chairman of the board of education and chairman, oh, I never. And I had a really strange experience there. And it taught me something, so the banker's name was Art Grassley, and Art kind of was the big man in town. And I went in, I said, I need a loan for X number of dollars, I don't even remember what it was. And so he pulls out a half sheet of paper, and he fills in the amount, and he signs it, and he says, you sign it, I sign it, he said, and the balance will be due in 6 months. At this percent interest. I'm going, what? No credit check? I had no idea that farmers trusted each other for grain until they were able to harvest it and pay off their loan. But there was a lot of trust that went on in that transaction that I just was never really that aware of before then. Love, trust. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go out and you sign contracts and things like that. I am going into the bank for a loan, and I hope they'll give me that half sheet of paper, so I don't know about that one. Love does a lot of other things. Love hopes. It's not the kind of hope that says, well, maybe this is going to happen, maybe it isn't going to happen. Our God has made some big promises, and we can hope in those promises, meaning that they are sure, they are going to happen. God would not promise us anything that would leave us hopeless. He promises us hope. So love hopes. Love perseveres. It doesn't give up. It endures. It does not envy. Love is kind. Love protects. Love protects the unborn, protects the hurting, the sick, the hungry, the homeless, the disabled. It's an active kind of love that actually reaches out and does those things and doesn't just talk about it. We try to impress people a lot of things, and, you know, it doesn't really matter what this person or that person has. We are called not to envy. We're called not to be resentful and those things. And again, that's a hard thing for human beings to do because that's kind of naturally our sinful default to go back to those kinds of attitudes. But love, as Jesus points out to his disciples, is not to be proud, not to boast, not to dishonor others, not to be self-seeking. In Matthew chapter 20, he says these words, "It must not be that way with you. But whoever wants to be great among you, let him care for you. Whoever wants to be first among you, let him be your servant. For the Son of Man came not to be cared for. He, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, came to care for others." So be humble. Don't boast. Not proud. And again, by the way, if you look at these lists of what Paul calls us to do, what love looks like in real life, the list of what we are not to do is longer than the list of what we are to do because we are a cantankerous and a sinful people. We're more familiar with what we shouldn't do than what we should do. Am I right? It's so easy to talk about other people, isn't it? I don't know. Maybe the most broken sin of all is the eighth commandment, gossip. And yet, what does, if you went through catechism in the Lutheran church, you heard that the explanation says that we should speak well of them and put the best construction on everything. We should be happy for other people's successes. Again, that's being actively not resentful, not proud or any of that, not boastful. And then he says something about love itself, about agape itself. He says, love never fails. Now, how do we know that? Maybe in our own personal lives, some of those other loves that Pastor Ron talked about last week have failed. Maybe there have been failures in our families, failures amongst our friends, failures in all kinds of places in these loving relationships. But in terms of agape love, love never fails. And I want to share with you why we know that. In 1 John chapter 4, we're going to go through a few passages here. We read, "Dear friends, let us love each other, because love comes from God. Those who love are God's children, and they know God. Those who do not love do not know God." And here's why love never fails. God is love. That's His character. That's His personality. That's His trait. That's who He is. That's His essence. That's who God is. God is love. Pretty clear. God is love. And then we read, as we continue in this particular verse, in verse 9 of John, 1 John 4, Jesus is agape in the flesh. Jesus is God's love in the flesh. Continues, "God has shown His love to us by sending His only Son into the world. God did this so we might have life through Christ. This is love. It is not that we loved God, but that He loved us. For God sent His Son to pay for our sins with His own blood," with His agape blood. Wow. And it continues in 1 John by something that we all have to acknowledge, I know I do. This agape thing we're talking about is not easy peasy. It's hard. It's hard for me. Is it hard for you? All right. It's a hard thing. But this is what, how then do we become loving? How do we take that greatest gift of love and then turn around and walk out of these doors and be love and do love and speak love in an active way, choosing to talk about love? Well, here, listen to what these words say. "Dear friends, if God loved us that much, then we should love each other. No person has ever seen God at any time. If we love each other, God lives in us." And there it is. God lives in us. "His love is made perfect in us. He has given us His Spirit. This is how we live, by His help. He lives in us." So every single day, God lives in us. In our baptisms, we die and we rise every day. This is what happens to me every day. I get up, and the old Adam that was drowned in my baptism swims to the top of the surface. And he tries to take a deep breath and breathe sin and death into me. But because God lives in me through His Spirit, God pushes the old Adam down again so that we may, as Romans says, walk in the newness of life. In other words, walk agape. Walk the talk as a Christian. Wow. In word and in sacrament, God breathes His love into us. He's breathing it into us right now. And it's going to be hard when you walk out those doors and someone drives in front of you in a parking lot. But you better agape them. Just saying. But God lives in you through His Word. He lives in you through your baptism. He lives in you as you come to the Lord's Supper and receive the agape body and blood of Jesus who died for you. World War II was not a good time in our world. Story, there weren't many bright lights in Nazi Germany, but there is one that I'd like to share with you. Hitler invaded Yugoslavia and took over the country, and then a lot of soldiers were shipped there to keep that country in their hands. And one of those soldiers who was shipped there was a Private Joseph Schultz. He was a loyal German soldier. He did what he was told. One day, his sergeant came to him, and he was one of eight names that was listed to come with him. Now, Private Schultz thought that this was going to be just another reconnaissance mission or something like that. But as they walked through the forest and they came into a clearing, about 50 feet away, he saw eight Yugoslavians on a mound, and it became clear to him what their mission was. There were five men and three women. The sergeant told his soldiers, "Ready! Aim!" And there was the drop of a gun butt on the ground. And Private Schultz began walking toward those people on that mound. They were looking at him in astonishment, both his fellow soldiers and the people who were out there. But he walked ahead. Sergeant said, "Halt!" Kept walking, ignored him. Got to those Yugoslavians. He joined hands with them. And the sergeant yelled, "Fire!" And Private Schultz died that day. His blood commingled with those innocent victims. And his fellow soldiers searched through his pockets, they found this passage from St. Paul. "Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." Agape. Jesus came down. He walked the streets of Jerusalem, the Via Dolorosa. He never looked back, always going to the cross. They nailed him to the cross, his hands outstretched to all of us. And Satan yelled, "Fire!" Jesus took every one of our bullets for every one of our sins alone because he loved us. His love was a verb and it acted upon us. His love was a choice to save us. And now, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Amen. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, the bigness of your love is something beyond our understanding. But we pray that you would send your Spirit to fill us and to help us to live out a life of love, to choose to live that life of love, not because we can, but because you did, and because you continue to help us to reach out in agape love to others. Lord, help us to be those people as we walk out of this church this morning and go into the lives that you have given us, that we might be agape to so many people. For it is in Jesus' name, agape in the flesh, that we pray. Amen.